China has to share its raw materials with the rest of the world.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. Now, the global perspective on business and economics. The U.S. has scored a major trade victory over China. The World Trade Organization has ruled that China must immediately drop its system of export taxes and quotas on a range of raw materials. The minerals are essential for the U.S. industrial sector. The trade dispute was one of the most widely watched in years. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz tells us why it matters.
It's not common that bauxite, yellow phosphorus, and fluorspar make international headlines, but the U.S. government says China's illegal export restrictions on these minerals have forced American companies to move their factories to China. Damian Ma is a China analyst at the Eurasia Group. He says the WTO ruling against these types of export taxes was important for an even bigger reason.
Well, I think if you're either the Commerce Department or U.S. trade agencies and you looked at this case, you probably thought it was fairly good news and it could allow you to build a more solid case on rare earths.
Rare earth metals are in everything from iPhones to electric car batteries. China restricts exports of rare earths as well. But there's a problem. China produces 90% of their global supply, a virtual monopoly. Yesterday's WTO ruling means it's just a matter of time before another case is filed against China for rare earth metals. If China loses, that will mean cheaper materials for the tech industry and cheaper prices for any computer product with a battery. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Florida Republicans cast their votes today in the presidential primary race. The question a lot of voters have got to be pondering, who's the best candidate to fix the economy? And that's the focus of Marketplace's special election coverage. We're calling it the real economy. Our first stop is a state that hasn't faced the same sort of deep recession states like Florida have. Instead, we're going to Nebraska. It was spared in part because of its dependence on agriculture. I mean, it is the Cornhusker state. But for manufacturers there, the last few years haven't been easy. Marketplace's David Gura reports on one of them in Omaha.
Nebraska is farms and feedlots and home to some big companies like ConAgra Foods and Berkshire Hathaway.
There's a lot of white-collar business, and there has not been a lot of opportunity for manufacturing.
Phil Teggart owns Omaha Steel Castings. It's been here since 1906. It's a foundry, a place that makes big metal parts for construction equipment out of steel heated up to 3,000 degrees.
Think of the toughest job you've ever worked in your life and multiply that times 10.
The place is cold in the winter, hot in the summer. There's just enough light to see that the air is filled with sparkling flints. Teggart bought this company in 2008. Back then, it was selling $25 million worth of parts every year. A few months later, the recession hit.
I kid with a lot of our employees and certainly my wife that I used to drive around looking for a building to jump off of, but there weren't any buildings tall enough in Omaha that I was going to die. I was just going to get hurt real bad.
Companies like Caterpillar decided to reduce inventory during the downturn, and that meant a lot less work for parts suppliers. All of a sudden, Teggart had the toughest job at Omaha Steel Castings. He had to lay off 165 workers. Production manager Henry Sism remembers what those days were like.
Regular employees were working 3 days a week. Salaried were at four. Just trying to make enough to keep the place open.
Everyone took a pay cut, including Teggart.
You know, we all were in it to fight through the downturn.
Construction and Caterpillar have crawled back, and so has Omaha Steel Castings. Today, the foundry has more business because there are fewer competitors. And equipment manufacturers are paying more for parts. Teggart rehired some of the employees he laid off. They're among 8,600 new jobs Nebraska manufacturers added last year. In Omaha, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. Global markets are up this morning. European leaders have reached a new agreement to help address the causes of the region's debt crisis. And we've got news today that Greece is closer to a deal with its lenders. The Greek prime minister says he's hoping to have a definitive agreement by the end of the week. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow finished down 6 points to close at 12,653.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. By Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location offering a workforce that's well-educated, smart, and driven. More at investni.com/invest. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at constantcontact.com.
Later this morning, UPS will tell us how it did in the last few months of 2011. The shipper's earnings report gets a little more attention than many others because it's a bellwether. It points the way to what lies ahead for the economy. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Ginzer tells us why.
If Big Brown is making a lot of green, the economy is headed up. At least that's what economists say. UPS is a bellwether because when the economy improves, companies make and sell more stuff, and somebody has to ship it. UPS was very busy during the last quarter of 2011. Mark Zandi is chief economist at Moody's Analytics.
So when there's a lot of economic activity, when consumers are out buying things, they're going to benefit from that. And the better the economy, the more things move, and that helps companies like UPS.
And other shippers like FedEx, which economists also follow. But shipping isn't the only way to take the economy's pulse. Caterpillar sheds light on construction, John Deere helps economists track agriculture, and Apple is a core indicator for the tech industry. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, a small fish tale. A very small fish tale. 400 fishermen competed in a charity ice fishing contest in Michigan over the weekend. The prize for the biggest fish was $3,000. The winning catch, a 4.5-ounce perch. And that perch was the only fish anyone caught all day. According to the Daily Press of Escanaba, there were other prizes. They all had to be given away in a random drawing. Probably not one of those fishing trips you brag about later. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The American economy can't quite make up its mind. There's Nebraska doing pretty well.
I think we see just a general unwillingness to bite off more than you can chew.
And there's Nevada, not doing so well.
If you have a basically resourceless state and you're desperate, you're going to take more risk.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Two States, and the story of election 2012, the real economy. Marketplace's special coverage next time. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.